Question. How many of you so far are enjoying the Bible study? I want to see a show of hands. Okay. Beautiful. How many of you have learned at least one thing that you really did not know before in the last 3 days? Okay, good. How many of you feel that there is still a lot of things that you wish you know, and still there is no time to get it all in? How many of you think they got it all? Good. Because I want to ask Brother Chuck, how long it take you to get what you get so far in the book of Romans? How many years?
Life.
All his life.
Do you think? Never quit learning.
Do you think you got it all?
No.
Do you think we could take the book of Romans again next year and the year after and the year after and we still learn something new?
Yeah, we might just take it up at Spruce Lake again.
Okay.
We'll just finish off where we left.
Okay. But the point I want to get to your mind is this. Don't be disappointed if you walk out after one Bible study and said, yeah, I just learned one thing today, but there is a lot of things still I don't get. Because you know what? It's going to take all your lifetime to learn the book of Romans. How many of you took math in elementary school? First grade. How many of you took it in the second grade? How many of you took it in the sixth grade? How many of you took it in middle school? In high school? In college? You're still taking math. And some of you go to graduate school and take math also. So you never exhaust. And we're talking about math. Imagine the word of God. So don't be disappointed if you walk out of here and he said, I only just learned a few things in chapter 1 and maybe a couple of things in chapter 5 and maybe a couple of things in chapter 6, but I feel there is still more I need to learn. It's okay, because you know what? You'll never get it all. Quickly, in 2 minutes, I want to just recap very quickly what we have spoke about yesterday. I want you to open your bank statement. Open your bank statement, because we want to look to see what's in our bank account. Our sins are? I want to hear you. Our sins are? We are justified. We are reconciled. We are dead. Our old man, what happened to it? Crucified. We, with Christ. Thank you. We were buried. When did we get buried? When did we get buried?
I can't hear. I'm getting old. My hearing aid is off.
When we were baptized. That's when you were buried. And when you buried somebody, I think Brother Paul said it yesterday, you move him out of your sight. Or one of you young men said that. You move him out of your sight. So old Emil went into the water of baptism and he's gone. The one that came out was a new guy. That's really what we covered yesterday. We said, this is facts. These are facts. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. If you feel you're justified, you're justified. If you don't feel you're justified, you are justified. If you feel that your old man was crucified with Christ, he was crucified with Christ. And if you don't feel it, he was crucified with Christ. So those are all facts. Has nothing to do with your feelings. You get confused when you said, but I don't feel it. Doesn't, remember the bank thing? If I feel I have $1 million and there are only 10, how much do I have? $10. It doesn't matter how I feel. We also talk about reckoning, and that's the whole idea of recognizing or agreeing with God's mathematic equation. Agreeing with God. And then we came to the matter of yielding. Because we have a master called sin. And we are changing masters now. I have a master that used to tell me what to do, and I was in complete subjection to him. He told me go and do something that is completely wrong. I found pleasure in doing that. I obeyed my old master. Right now I'm changing master. I'm switching. So when the old master called and said, hey, come on, let's go and do this. I can't hear him. I'm deaf. I don't listen to him anymore. If I wanted to, I can, but I shouldn't. I shouldn't listen to the old master anymore. I should not let him take charge of my life. I should not let sin rule, reign in my life. I should not subject myself to it. And then I yield. I don't yield to sin anymore. I don't give way to sin anymore. I yield my members as members of righteousness. I listen to the Lord. I'm switching master. I'm telling sin, you are no longer my master. Remember in chapter 5, we switch heads. We have Adam as our head. We switch. We went to Christ. And in chapter 6, we're switching masters. We're switching from sin to righteousness and grace. Right? So in chapter 5, you change heads. You have a new head now. And head gives direction, right? Gives instruction. When you're hungry, what tells you are hungry? Your stomach or your head? No. Your head. Okay? It's a nerve in your head that goes to your stomach and tell it that you're hungry. When you touch something that's hot, what tells you that whatever the surface you're touching is hot? Is it your hand or your brain? Your brain tell your hand, move out, it's hot. So it's all coming from the head. So if you are under the headship of Christ, if you change heads, you take direction from the head. If you're gonna be in Adam, you're gonna take direction from him. The same thing. Now we have a master and a servant. Sin was our master, tells us what to do. Go and do these things and we run and do it. Right now, we don't have to listen to that master anymore. So, as we end in chapter 6, everything's fine. We have the facts. We know what's right and what's wrong, and everything is wonderful. And man, I wish we go right to chapter 8. But Brother Chuck said, let's take chapter 7. So, here we are.
It was quite... And this is a miserable man that we're going to be reading about right here in this chapter. You wouldn't think that you would need this chapter after we've been, as Emil has said, into chapter 6 and see the wonderful place that we've been brought into, the change of masters. But in my and in your experience in working out these things, we often find that the experience that we have is awfully close to what we're going to read here. Now, I sometimes listen to folks as they say, well, this is a lifelong experience in chapter 7. Well, I don't know what others would say, but I don't think God intends it to be. I don't think He intends the experience that I would have as a Christian to be always the defeat, because this is a defeated Christian in this chapter. He's a man that doesn't know what victory is. He's a man that is still really under the old man, isn't he? Now, the example of marriage is set here. I think it's important. She here? That's good. That's good, because we're not deep into it.
Okay.
Come in. I want to apologize to you.
Okay.
This was my fault.
That's okay.
And I am sorry.